noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we play them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game.
Welcome in, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Lloyd, you played the cut, and Scotty's not even here to be bugged by it. Which kind of bums me out, because Scotty does not like the old speech. And every time Scotty hears it, it bugs him, and he lights up the world, but he's not even here to hear it. Dang it. But here it is. The NHL continuing to heat up here in the state of Utah. We are going to talk plenty about that today with Jay Stevens. We've got Masters coverage with Bob Casper. We've got a spring ball report and review with Will Snowden. We've got NBA take coming up with Kurt Heelan at 2:05. We've got Coach Lacombe coming up to talk Utah Jazz and BYU coaching search. But I thought, why not kick this thing off with a bang? So we thought we'd bring on the expert, Mark Durant, because, man, Mark, it's like we already see the bleeding. Dallin Hall has entered into the transfer portal. Mark Pope takes the coaching job at Kentucky, and it just never stops with BYU, does it?
Oh, man, Hans, it's rough. This has been a tough 24 hours, and I don't know, man. It's like you just had news this week of BYU being ranked in the top 20 in a bunch of early, polls, and you got some really exciting recruits coming in. You've got a good core that looks like it's solid, and it just changes overnight. But that's college basketball, and that's the way it is nowadays. And BYU will be okay, but couldn't be a bigger Mark Pope fan. I love the guy. He's just one of my favorite people in the world. I don't have anything bad to say about Mark Pope. I think he's fantastic. I'm just going to miss him. I think he's going to do an amazing job at Kentucky. A lot of people at Kentucky, from what I can tell, are kind of upset about the hire, but they're not going to be upset for long because he is going to be amazing there. He's going to win championships there, and he's an incredible person. I'm just sorry to see him leave BYU so soon. I kind of thought it would happen eventually, but it would be after a few years of some prolonged success that I was looking forward to before that happened.
BYU men's basketball color analyst Mark Durant joining us to catch up on this Mark Pope situation and all the other things that are going to start to come with it. The new hire, some of the transfer portal entries. Again, Dallin Hall just jumping into the transfer portal. Mark, was there anything BYU could have done to prevent Pope leaving after the Kentucky offer?
I don't think so. I mean, we knew who Mark Pope was when we hired him, and I don't think anybody in their right mind thought if the Kentucky job came along that wouldn't be attractive to him, and not even so much for money, but, he obviously played there. And to me, Kentucky is kind of one of the four horsemen of the college basketball apocalypse. I mean, it's Duke, it's North Carolina, it's Kentucky, and it's Kansas, right? Those are kind of just the places, the jobs. It's college basketball. And for a young coach, as much as he loves BYU and as great as he was doing here and as happy as he was and his family was here, that's just kind of, I mean, that's everything for him. That's the mecca for him. And I think BYU is getting better at paying coaches, still not great, even if they could have paid him. I don't know that you could ask him to turn that job down. And so it's nothing on anything BYU's done or any boosters have done or anything like that. That was a job that had some inevitability if it was ever offered to him. Now, the question was when, it's a little bit surprising that it was offered, I think. I think Kentucky fans are a little bit surprised. But again, I think he'll do terrific. But I thought what it would take is for BYU to have a run, get deep in the tournament, have some real success for a few years, and then it's like a no-brainer to bring in Mark Pope if you're Kentucky. But this was a little bit risky for them, and I think it's going to be a great move when it all comes down to it. But the inevitability of him leaving was high. I mean, there's just not much BYU could do once Kentucky decided they wanted Mark Pope.
So now the clock is ticking, and BYU needs to find the next guy. And you and I have been affiliated with one way, shape, form, or the other with BYU in most of our adult lives, whether we're playing there or calling games for them. We know that it takes some time at BYU, that the search is slow, the hiring process is slow, the announcements come slow, and that's just part of the design for BYU. But it feels like we're in a crunch situation where things need to speed up a little bit. First of all, Mark, talk about the search, and second of all, talk about BYU's ability to get somebody in place to stop the bleeding if others do jump into the portal or you may lose a transfer that you were so excited about.
Yeah, I mean, this has taken me off guard, but I certainly hope it hasn't taken Tom Homo off guard or Brian Santiago. I hope they have contingencies and they're moving at a lightning pace. I know that for BYU, lightning pace is different than another school, but I hope all the things are happening and it's in motion, because you just can't afford to wait nowadays. Because you talk about your Dallin Halls, you talk about recruits coming in, they need to know who the next guy is going to be, and then they can make their decision based on that. You don't want them to make their decision without a full knowledge of who's coming in. So, if you were able to bring in an assistant that has relationships like Cody Feger, Robinson, or someone like that, that's been around the program, that may help with that. You may decide not to go that way, but whatever it is, you have to make it happen quickly. You just can't afford, given the time of year it is and given what's happening, and you can't miss out on potential transfers. You can't miss out on not keeping your guys. You can't miss out on not keeping your recruits. You have to act lightning quick. So it may not be, 3 days like Kentucky, but it can't be a couple of weeks like it typically takes for BYU. They need to expedite it in whatever way they can, make a decision and get it done, and then let people make decisions, players make decisions with that full knowledge of who's coming in. And that may be attractive to some guys and that may not have otherwise wanted to stay or to come. So it's not necessarily the end of the world to lose Mark Pope, as good a coach as he was and as awesome a person as he was. But you don't want to be hurt by inaction. You don't want to be hurt by not having something in place for people to make good decisions on.
BYU men's basketball color analyst Mark Durant joining us for just a few more minutes, getting us caught up on this Mark Pope situation and the new BYU coaching searching hire that they're currently in. So talk to me a little bit about the candidates, guys that pop into your mind. Maybe give me one or two that would be on the top of your wish list and then one or two that might be more reality.
Yeah, I like Cody Feger a lot because he's in the program. He has the relationships. He's a great recruiter, a great basketball mind. He's young, driven. Obviously, the BYU issue, it rears its ugly head or whatever you want to view it. He's not a member of the LDS Church, so can BYU do that? I don't know if they can do that, but I do know that he would be a great representative of BYU. He lives an amazing life, beautiful family, keeps all the standards, and knows, he's been a part of BYU for a long time. He knows everything about all of that. So I would feel incredibly comfortable with him as a head coach. And that would be good as far as continuity, relationships, and may help people make decisions to stay that otherwise might go. I just think he's a terrific person. I love him. He's a Packers fan. So that means a lot to me. But I think he'd be terrific. But I just don't know if BYU is you know, where they need to be on whether or not they want their head coach to be a member of the faith of that school. So we'll see. But I like Cody. There's a couple others. Obviously, Mike Mattson, I think, has proven that he is a capable coach. But he's just starting out at Cal, and I don't know what would go into making him want to leave there or what that would entail. But he's certainly a name I hear a lot about that I think would be terrific because he's had a good NBA career. He has a lot of connections. And I think he's proven that he's a good basketball coach with what he did at UVU and at Cal. And so I think he'd be great. I know Barrett Peery. He's my guy. I grew up with Barrett, played with him, played against him at Payson High. I think he's a terrific guy. I would be thrilled about Barrett Peery. I think he's also a young, innovative type of coach that would do great. Quincy Lewis, I think, is the greatest high school coach ever in the state of Utah. And that's a lot for me to say because there's been some great ones. But he just knows how to win and has been at BYU. I think Quincy's terrific. Nick Robinson. I mean, I go down that list, but I feel comfortable with any of those guys. I think would do a nice job. But my immediate mind goes to Cody Feger. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's a possibility for BYU, but I think he would be great. And, you know, he might be a guy that says, I want to go to Kentucky because the assistant coach at Kentucky is a pretty good gig, too. He'd be making a lot of money and maybe set himself up for a head coaching job with a little more cachet in the future. But, I don't know who will be the next coach, but I do know that Tom Homo and Brian Santiago are extremely competitive, extremely knowledgeable, and will make the right decision. And I have a lot of faith in those guys to pick the right guy.
I do too. And I'm sure that they're active in this, and I'm sure they've got a nice list of names that they're going after. And, you know, Mark, this whole BYU to the Big 12 situation has been such an interesting study in what they need to do to step up their game and be competitive and what is required of them and asked of them. And, you know, you go from being a West Coast Conference team and competing with the likes of Gonzaga to becoming a part of the biggest conference in all of men's college basketball. And I would say outside of, as you mentioned, the Four Horsemen, UConn, Kansas, Kentucky, and I'm missing one, Utah, Kansas, Kentucky, and who's the other big one?
North Carolina, guys, yeah.
Outside of that, you know, I'm thinking, Mark, like BYU, it's no longer a stepping stone. It's not a Mountain West Conference team. It's not a West Coast Conference team. You're not trying to grow yourself as a coach. BYU should get themselves up there competitively on the top end of the pay scale because this is no longer a stepping stone college basketball program, and there's been times when it wasn't, but West Coast Conference times, maybe it was looked at as such. But, Mark, don't you feel like BYU needs to be able to land a coach and say, oh, outside of maybe one of these blue bloods that comes to grab them, these guys aren't going anywhere once they sign with BYU?
Yeah, I think it's still early, but I think BYU's getting there, and I think that Mark Pope would have been very content to stay, but for it being Kentucky coming to call, but it was. And so that was kind of the one of a few that would lure him away, I think, and it did. But I do think BYU, as time goes by, you know, will be able to build up the salary and be at least competitive for the middle of the Big 12. And, you know, you've got some serious boosters now at BYU that are committed to BYU's success and will pay money to keep coaches. And I think that you can put in coaches that are committed to BYU and will want to stay even if other teams come calling. I mean, people want to be successful at their jobs as coaches. They want opportunity. They want money. They want legacy. And the reality is there's few jobs out there that aren't – that the guys are going to be completely and utterly committed to. I mean, even Calipari leaves Kentucky for Arkansas. I mean, and so you're always going to be vulnerable. Even if you do get in the Big 12 and are successful, you know, you're going to be vulnerable unless you hire Mark Durant or Hans Olsen, because we're committed to BYU. And there's no amount of money or other school that's going to take me away from BYU, but no one wants to hire me because I'm a big goofball. But but there's always going to be that risk. But it's a good risk, because in order for you to be attractive, you've brought success to a school. You've put them in a good spot going forward. That's what Mark Pope has done. But you hope his leaving is not going to unravel that. That's the concern. It's not so much that Mark Pope is leaving. He was going to do that. It's a good opportunity. He goes. But you just don't want his leaving to unravel the recruits, the system, where your trajectory. And so you hope that you can bring in a coach quick that's going to be as committed and as innovative and be able to keep the train rolling. You know, that's what you want. And so it's always going to be a fear if you have a coach that's successful at BYU, even in the Big 12. But you hope it's more like a Scott Drew situation where he says, no, I got plenty of money and I got plenty of legacy and opportunity here at Baylor. And you hope it'll be that way for BYU in the future.
Well, and that's my ultimate hope for BYU, is that at some point they land a coach that builds it, stays with it. And I know Calipari is leaving Kentucky, but Calipari was there for a lot of years and won a lot of games and had a lot of opportunity, but decided to stay. You know, I look at Kyle Whittingham, the University of Utah, and I know there have been some big universities that have tried to pluck him out of there, and he stayed. He's hunkered down, and he's made it now a big-time destination as a head college football coach. And that's my hope at BYU with their basketball program, where they overachieved in the Big 12. The Big 12, Mark, I mean, we thought the Big 12 was rock solid and tough this year. Adding Arizona and Colorado and your in-state rival in Utah, and, like, you know, these big schools that are coming in, it's like, you better hunker down and build yourself into something great. This next hire needs to be like, hey, like, number one, it's going to be a $25 million buyout. And we're going to go, we'll put you up for 5 years. It's going to be a buyout that nobody is going to touch. And we want you to stay here and be a part of this so you can grow it. I mean, that was my hope with Coach Pope, was like, as you mentioned, Baylor's head coach turned it down. I think there were two other candidates that turned down Kentucky. My hope was that BYU could go to Mark Pope and say, what are they offering? Well, they're offering the world. Okay, well, we'll extend the world because we want to be competitive and we want you here and we want this team to remain steady. And I don't know how that gets done, Mark. I don't know how it gets done, but I hope at some point that can be a reality.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It's a difficult world to navigate. It's hard to find a guy that is content and committed and capable for your school, whether it's, you know, Stu Morrill at Utah State that was so good there for so long and just was a Utah State guy and he wasn't leaving, or you know, whoever it is. I mean, there's a lot to be said for legacy. And, you know, Mark Pope could have had a beautiful legacy at BYU, but it also wasn't a certainty for him. I mean, a year ago, they were fifth in the West Coast, and people wanted him fired. And so, I mean, it's hard to begrudge a guy to say, go get paid $5 million a year and recruit any player you want and get them and have unlimited resources and pay whatever NIL they want. He's going to have the best players that he wants and all the resources he needs. And BYU's getting better, but they're not there yet. And so it's just hard to find a guy that is just completely committed to a school, because it's just rare. I mean, it's just super rare. And I hope that they could find someone that will have a long career and a successful career and will build a legacy there. And I think that's a special thing to have, but there's such a level of uncertainty that it's hard to say to a coach, you know, stay around for these reasons when when Kentucky can offer so much. And like I said, I think BYU's getting better. I think Mark Pope stays for almost any other school, but it's just Kentucky was like the Holy Grail. I mean, it was, he's played there. He's won a championship there. And the history. I think almost any other offer comes to Mark Pope and he stays with BYU. Maybe that's blue colored goggles, but I just think Kentucky was the one that he could not refuse, the offer he could not refuse.
Mark, before we let you go, we need to squash the rumor that you're going to be leaving with Mark Pope to go and do color for Kentucky. Can we just put that one to bed?
Well, I noticed Scotty's not there, so I'm wondering if Scotty is at the transfer portal from Utah Radio to I don't know where Scotty would go. But he's a hot name in radio, as you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if he got picked up by one of the big names in broadcasting. But as long as they've got you there, Hans, I know you're going to be solid. You're a legacy guy. You're committed.
Lloyd and I will double check and make sure Scott didn't catch a flight out to Kentucky. But, Mark, always great catching up with you. Appreciate the insight, man.
Hey, and thanks for having me. And to my Cougar friends, Cougar fans, it seems a little rough now, but it's going to be fine. They'll find a really good coach, and maybe you lose some players, but then you bring in players. As Scotty knows, I mean, with what happened to Utah State this year, it's a world where you don't have to rebuild for years. You can find ways to be successful, even if you lose a coach or lose players. So keep a stiff upper lip, Cougar fans.
There you go. That's Mark Durant, Greg Wrubell's second best color guy. Appreciate your time, brother. It's fantastic what he does. He's been with Greg Wrubell for, 28, 30 years. And those guys do a fantastic job. But Mark Durant knows that landscape. Appreciate him taking some time coming on with us. We are live at Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown. And I've got Jake hanging out with me. And I've got Tyler hanging out with me. And I just feel like I'm in hog heaven. I'm in car hog heaven here.
So I got a deal for you.
All right.
I mean, for all the listeners right now, you got to check this out.
How big a deal?
Well, here's the deal. Jake is actually slated to be interviewed later today for the new BYU head coach position. And I'm pretty sure he's going to get it, which means that he doesn't care today what he sells cards for. So just come down here. He's going to make it happen. He is going to make it happen because he's going to be the next BYU coach. So we're calling it the BYU coach deal today, where he's not going to be held accountable to these deals. So get on in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Are you? Can you hear us there? Okay, Jake.
Yeah, I could hear you guys just fine.
How? So tell me, man, you gonna take this job or are you gonna run with it? What are you thinking?
I mean, if that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. Right?
You just, by the way, Jake, when they shoot the
on your way
shot,
just
that's called a free throw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, when I was on the golf course yesterday putting, somebody said, "Oh, you're putting like Shaq shoots free throws."
Why are you using a granny shot motion while you're doing the free throw?
That's right.
So, Jake and Tyler, just the standard out here in what you can do with cars and purchasing and the value and the Tim Daly name and something that I've loved representing over the years. Oh, this is going back. What are we now? 10 years, Tyler?
Yeah.
Together on air? How long have we been?
Than that.
Is it 12 years?
It's 15. Been 15 years.
About 15 years?
Yeah.
It goes back a long way.
It does. And there's a lot of trust that, you know, we take seriously. We want everybody who buys a car from us to, listen, not interested in selling one car. Really not. Like, if we don't earn the trust and respect and treat you well enough that you don't want to buy all your cars from us, then we felt like we failed you, right? That's why we've come up with the forever warranty with the Daly organization, where that forever warranty just puts in writing in a contract that we're here not just to sell you a car and see you later. We're here to sell you a car and take care of you forever.
I love that. The forever warranty comes with each purchase on these vehicles. And by the way, that does attach to a large portion of the used car selection that you've got here at Tim Daly Mazda 2. I just want people to come by and check out these Mazdas. I bought two of them from Jake.
Yeah, these Mazdas are something else. And, you know, I think we've been saying it for over a year now since I've taken over the store and I brought you guys over. I said, hey, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Mazda is the best-kept secret in the car industry. And it is because the resale value, the quality of the vehicle, it has the best transmission in the market. These things just don't break down. I mean, I could take you in the back in my service when you guys get here and show you. There's not Mazdas back there getting fixed. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. So, you know, I want everybody just to come down and check these things out. And right now, Mazda has got some unprecedented leasing options on the table right now on the all-new CX-50, on the CX-30, on the CX-5, and obviously the 90 PHEV and 90 regular engine as well.
Come see why we love being a part of this family. Come talk to Jake. Come talk to Tyler. Come grab Chris. Chris has helped me with my cars here in this location. Fantastic guys. Can help you with whatever vehicle you're looking for. That's Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown. Come down and see us. Jay Stevens joins us next to talk about the newest reports about the NHL coming to Salt Lake City. That's all coming up.
This is DJ and PK.
Mark Pope's gone. Kentucky made the announcement earlier this morning. He makes more money. He has his dream job. And pretty quickly after that, Mark Madsen issued a statement about how much he loves Cal.
This is a great day for Mark Pope, but I also think it's not a bad day for BYU. For BYU, if you do really well,
you can get the Kentucky job.
Yeah, look
and
at
coaches
that.
Care about that a lot.
Yeah, so this is good. And also, you've got a guy who has been there at BYU, and I'm talking about Chris Burgess. He's your guy. He wants the job. He's told them he wants the job. They know it. Get this thing done. Don't jackpot around. I believe that Burgess is your guy. Go get him. You're in a good spot. Re-recruit the guys that you need to,
okay.
And then see if you can get some other guys into the program.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
To do than scramble to fix your next great hire, so let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. That's S-P-H-E-R-I-O-N Utah.com. That's spherion.com/Utah. A tweet coming from longtime Arizona insider, NHL voice, and overall good guy, John Gambardaro, just minutes ago. He said, I continue to hear April 18th as the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement on the Coyotes being sold to Ryan Smith and the team moving to Salt Lake City. All indications are this is the only option, and all the wheels are in motion for the purchase and the transfer of assets. Here to help us break all this down is our NHL insider, Jay Stevens. And, Jay, you see the tweets and you hear the noise. I mean, are we all but done with this thing, wrapping it up and giving it a final announcement?
Man, it really seems like it, right? Like, everything's just set up, and we keep hearing about it, and it seems like it's too good to be true for somebody like me, but it's here. It's going to happen.
Let's talk about this, Jay, because you go back years in this market, and you go back understanding what the state's all about. At what point did the thought of NHL coming to Utah even hit you as a possibility?
Man, I'll tell you, my entire life I've wanted it, and I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to retire from the fire department and move to Vegas so I can work for their NHL or AHL team, because Utah will never get a team. And then a few years ago, there was a tweet that Ryan Smith was trying to buy the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'm like, well, that's bizarre. But I think Ryan Smith even saw that tweet, and I think that's when it all started. So, like, 4 years ago, I think everybody started thinking this could really happen, and that's the guy that could do it. That Ryan Smith is pretty put together and has really good vision and can make it happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because Ryan Smith did send out a tweet, and I saw you in the picture with him, arms kind of linked and arms up in the air. What kind of guy is Ryan Smith in regards to NHL and just the growth of professional sport here in the state of Utah?
Every interaction I've had with him, he's just been phenomenal, and it's hard to not just get sucked into his energy and see his vision. And he's, you know, I'm so excited to find out that he's a hockey fan and he's played some hockey, roller hockey and a little bit of ice hockey. And he wants it, and he sees it as a really good vehicle to helping the state of Utah, helping downtown Salt Lake City, and just kind of revitalizing that downtown and activating the Delta Center for, you know, 84 nights instead of 42 nights. And he's just got such vision and energy. He's just awesome to be around.
He really does have a lot of vision, and, you know, I've got to imagine that his vision is really narrowed in on developing downtown. I know that there are other options out there, and yeah, Utah isn't like some of these other metro markets. He could take it to the point of the mountain. He could take it to Draper. He could take it to some of those areas, but, Jay, it really feels like he wants to keep that downtown revitalized, and he wants to keep it down in that area. What are you hearing in regards to when this announcement is made, where this venue will officially land?
I'm pretty sure. I paid a lot of attention to what was going on when they were putting money from the legislature towards him, and it was the city and the state that approached him. I think he already had his plan, and if you were able to pay attention to what was going on at that time, The city kind of realized, like, oh, if he builds that in Draper, he's probably going to take the Jazz with him. So I think they came to him and gave him an idea, and he's like, man, let's keep the tradition of the Delta Center. That's why it's called the Delta Center again. Let's keep that tradition alive and create some better sight lines for hockey in that building, and let's make this a great venue. And I think he's got the vision for everything around it to clean it up and make it like a real NHL experience.
Have you heard of or do you know of any roadblocks that would keep that from being a possibility?
No, actually, it seems like everybody that he deals with is on board with this and are just removing the roadblocks for him.
I know that's the hope, is keeping it all downtown and having that combo down there. He released those renderings, Jay. I know you saw them. They're beautiful. I mean, you talk about Ryan Smith's vision. The vision was put down in print on a tweet that he sent out. What did you think about some of the renderings that you saw?
Man, it looks like so much fun, and it looks like it's such a great environment. I'm actually going to Vegas right now. My friends at Chipman Roofing gave me tickets to go to the Knights game. And it's like when you go to an NHL game, you sit, you go outside, you get there at 5 o'clock, and there's dining and there's drinks and there's shopping, and you just hang out and you get to chirp at other people that are wearing other teams' jerseys. And it's as much fun outside the arena as it is inside the arena. And I think that's exactly what that's designed to be. And granted, it gets a little colder in Utah than it does in Vegas, but that just becomes like a Christmas village. You just hang out, drink hot chocolate, and just get ready for an amazing night of hockey.
Hey, we do need to make a little bit of emphasis on this, because I've had a couple of pictures now tweeted at me. Every time the Kings have come to play in the Delta Center, I've gone out there to that, the Blitz on the Ice or whatever they call it, and I've had a blast, and there are sight issues. Talk to people what the sight line means and how the Delta Center can house the Coyotes for a period of time, but why ultimately it's going to have to be redone.
Well, especially behind the nets, you can't look down and see what's going on in the action in one end if you're in that end. So it's really limited visibility there. And I think what the plan is to use the money they got from the state to blow out the sides of the Delta Center, create an amazing sight line, like change the angles of the arena so that you can see into the corners of the building. And I think that's the overall goal is, you know, for basketball, it's easy because there's not boards. It's just you're right on the floor. But with hockey, you got to have those boards. You got to have those deep corners. So I think they're going to change those sight lines behind the boards. And that was really the only problem, which is funny. That's where I buy tickets to see the frozen period. I like to sit right behind the net as a goalie. That's been my vision. And I think those are where they're going to change the sight lines the most. Like, hopefully they're going to release some future renderings of that. But in the meantime, you know, you sell 14,500 seats of good view, maybe some limited or some obstructed view seats, and it's way better than what's been going on in, you know, with the 4,600-seat arena in Phoenix.
Well, now that you bring up the details of blowing out those sides and building out the edges, just going back to the rendering, I've had it in front of me about 1,000 times. Because I know there's always tells and tips in those things when they're released by owners. And you can see how it's telescoped out. Even in the rendering, you can see how Delta Center is kind of telescoped out on the edges. So I even think that initial picture shows a bit of what you just mentioned, Jay.
Yeah, and I think that was the plan. I think I saw one of his people on the media just recently, and they were talking about that, like, you know, for basketball, the seats typically are steeper, and for hockey, they're more laid out so you can see flatter. And they kind of already had that in mind when they got that money from the state. That's what they want to do, is just make it – it's going to be, yeah, like you said, a little more scoped out, a little more flat. It's going to change the Delta Center for the better, in my opinion. And I'm just so looking forward to this. It's going to be amazing.
You and I both, Jay. And, look, I'm a football guy through and through. It's my passion. It's my family's passion. It's in my blood. Football is my life and has been since I was probably 11. I haven't really done anything other than football. So it's my life. But I think if I could make a transition to any other sport, it'd be hockey. Just the toughness of it. It feels like these guys still truly play for the love of the game, even at the NHL level. It feels like they play for the love of the game, so I'm excited about that. Last thing before we let you go, give me an idea of what we're looking at price-wise per ticket. I know it'll fluctuate, but I know what the Golden Knights – I know that Golden Knights ticket is one of the more expensive tickets in Vegas, but kind of walk us through an idea of when this happens, the announcement comes down, and we see the puck drop for next season, what type of price we're talking about per ticket.
So typically, the research I've been doing lately says 18 to 20% less than NBA tickets for the same market. The Knights are a tough one. The seats I'm sitting in are glass seats, right up against the glass. They're $500, and that comes with free food and everything. So figure you could get into that building for a couple $100. It's more than going to see the Grizzlies, but like 20% less than you'd pay for an NBA ticket and way more excitement.
Jay, you're great. Drive safe. Enjoy the Golden Knights game. Thanks for the insight, man. I'm just pumped to ride this excitement with you. I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for the state. And I just want to see this all getting taken care of so when the announcement comes down, it's a smooth transition, and we're rocking and rolling for the start of next season.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one thing I've learned about that, about Ryan Smith, is everything's going to be pretty smooth. He's got his vision, and he's got people around him that seem to just work out every little detail. So I'm going to be just living at KSL on Wednesday and Thursday, waiting for that so that we can be, like, the first ones on the story. And then I want to take you to your first NHL game in Salt Lake. Let's convert you.
Let's do it, man. I'm all about it. Utah Puck Report on KSL Sports. You're going to hear it from Jay Stevens, and you're going to get the insight that you need. Jay, you're great. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm trying not to get well over my skis on this, but when I see these reports from John Gamandaro and the other reports that we've been hearing and then talking with Jay Stevens, ladies and gentlemen, it feels like this thing has really narrowed in. Gamandaro just sent out a tweet. He said, I continue to hear April 18th as the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement. That's just coming up in nearly a week, 6 days. That'll be next Thursday. That announcement could come down. And when it does, I'm just hoping we can all join hands because nothing brings community together like sports. We're live at Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown. Come down, say hi. We still got the gear. We got RSL tickets that you can grab and so much more right here. Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown. Bob Casper joins us next for a Masters update.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. Dan Bickley, where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes?
There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution. You would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value, I don't know if that's any longer the case.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The Sports Zone.
Excited to be joined by Bob Casper to get a Masters update. Master wages on. Gotta love Augusta. I love this time of year. I love when spring breaks and the weather starts to heat up a bit. It's been so nice outside compared to what we've had here in the state of Utah. Oh my gosh, man. These last two winters, I don't know if you agree with me, but these last two winters have been burdensome. They have been really tough to bear. And so every time the Masters breaks, it just feels amazing. Excited to have Bob Casper on to give us the latest and greatest. This Uinta Golf Masters update is brought to you by Mountainland Supply, Zions Bank, Black Desert Resort, Hoops Vision, and Siegfried & Jensen. And now, Real Golf. Here is Bob Casper.
The 2024 Masters update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
I don't know, Bob. It's so beautiful here in Utah right now. I'm about ready to go outside, peel off the shirt, and get a little sun on the back, but but people are encouraging me not to. How's our weather looking in Augusta right now?
Oh, it's windy and breezy, but nice and blue skies, and it's going to continue to get better over the next few days.
Does that improve the playing conditions?
Oh, well, you know, with the wind, it doesn't. It's really the golf course is playing long. It's getting faster, and with the wind, it takes the moisture out of the greens. So, you know, that's why you're not seeing guys making a big run today so far. You know, Max Homa is one under for the day. Scotty Scheffler's one under for the day through three holes. Bryson DeChambeau is even par. Danny Willett's one under. It's just difficult right now. And with the gusting winds and stuff, it's hard to get the actual yardages correct so that you can hit the best shots.
So I know one typically comes with the other, but if you had to play in one or the other, would you rather play in a downpour or a heavy amount of rain or some swirling wind? Which one affects you more as a golfer?
Well, I think the swirling winds affects things on the golf course more than the water would. However, you know, if it's a heavy downpour, then the course becomes unplayable and they have to go into a delay and that kind of thing, which is not so bad. These guys are used to that. But when you're playing at Augusta National and you're on the back nine and the wind's swirling around in the trees and you hit a shot and you think it's going to go this far and then the wind switches or it hits the ball while it's in mid-flight, then it causes some difficulties. Yesterday on the 11th hole, Scotty Scheffler had a shot that he was planning on some wind to, you know, he's hitting it into the wind on the hole. He hit a four iron, I think from 220 yards, expecting the wind to hold the ball up a little bit. And the wind actually held the ball up because his shot came up short and he hit it really good. It held it up 35 yards, as far as how far the ball actually flew. And compared to what they were thinking. So there's a lot of things that can happen. Balls, you know, the wind can switch and go downwind or sidewind. And if you're not planning for it, it becomes really, really difficult. And you could make a big number based on the ball going in the water or something else.
You talked about Bryson's number even through nine holes on his second round, but shot a 65 in day one. How surprised were you by DeChambeau's 65 and what he did in the first round?
Well, you know, Bryson has proven that he can win major championships, but because he plays in the LIV Golf League, it's difficult to know how he's playing. He did shoot or he did win a tournament last year on LIV, and he shot 61 in the final two rounds. Get this, he shot 61-58 to win the golf tournament. And he's proven that he can shoot low numbers. And that was a great round yesterday. He got it from point to point really good. He got the angles correct. He putted well. It's just today is so much of a different day with all the wind. He played early yesterday and there was more moisture in the golf course.
So Tiger Woods is nearly through round two. He's plus one on the day. He was plus one on day one. What are you seeing from Tiger Woods, the old champion?
You know, Tiger's playing consistent. He's made one more bogey than birdies. He is one over, but he just hit it on the 15th green in two with a fairway wood and will have about probably a 30 or a 35 foot putt for eagle, which, you know, if he gets it in two, that will give him a birdie and get him back to even par for the day, plus one for the tournament. But looking at the leaderboard, the cut comes at 50 in ties, and right now 50 is plus four. So he's inside the cut line and trying to keep that streak going at 24 in a row.
What is our biggest day two comeback? How far back of the lead can you be in day two to make it a push into Saturday and Sunday?
You know, I told this story earlier today, but Tiger Woods in 2005, he just made the cut. He needed to make a 4 or 5 foot putt on the ninth hole to make the cut. We had split tees that year because of weather also. And he just made the cut, and then he ended up winning the golf tournament in 2005. So if you make the cut, or if you're anywhere close to even par for the tournament, maybe one over for the tournament, you can get right back in this thing as situations happen where you get out early, you shoot a good score, maybe a 66 or a 65 or a 64, and you can get yourself right back in the tournament. So, normally I would say if you make the cut, but with the lead being at 7 under par, I think you got to probably be around even par to have a chance to come back.
Well, Bob, I would say that every single Saturday Real Golf Radio knocks that out of the park, but come Masters weekend, Real Golf Radio is really swinging big. I'm sure you guys have a big lineup coming up tomorrow. Kind of give our listeners a bit of a tease of what they're going to get with some Real Golf Radio live from the Masters.
Where we're going to have Tony Finau. We talked with him after the first round, and we'll be talking with him just shortly after the second round to talk with him about his play and what the conditions are like on the golf course. Also, we have the caddy every week on Real Golf Radio. That's what we call him, and he caddied out on tour professionally and does all the yardage books for the PGA Tour now. And then also we will have lots of audio from players and Chairman Fred Ridley of Augusta National and that kind of thing. So it's going to be a great show, and it's going to be fun to talk about what's happening.
Well, Bob, there's nothing better than the Masters weekend. This is as good as it gets, man. Appreciate your coverage, taking time at Augusta. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could step off the course or step away for a minute to take a call, but I appreciate you doing it.
You got it, Hans. Appreciate it and love coming on with you.
Yeah, we love you, brother. Bob Casper, nobody does it better than him, BT. Every single Saturday, Real Golf Radio, you heard right there, he's going to have Tony Finau on day one and day two, and it's all coming to you live from Augusta. There's some Masters update. We got a big show, man. This thing is jam-packed. Will Snowden, my former teammate, he is the owner and the manager of Alpha Recruits. Nobody knows talent here in the state better than Will Snowden. Nobody develops talent better here in the state than Will Snowden. And we're kind of wrapping up all of our spring balls across the state with Utah State, Utah, and BYU. We're going to have Will jump on. We're going to do some quarterback talk. We're going to get the quarterback perspectives, and then we'll talk about transfer portals and high school talent and so much more. We're live at Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown. Come down, say hi. We're giving away Real Salt Lake tickets. We've got some great gear that you can grab off the table. Come down and say hi to the one and only Will Snowden. I know you've heard his voice, and I know you want to meet him. He'll even sign an autograph or two if that's something that you're interested in. So come down and say hi to Mr. Snowden. He's coming up next right here on Hans and Scotty, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.